Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to be this morning still on our subject of fighting the good fight of faith. We're using 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, verse 12, the verse there, which is says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The Apostle Paul wrote that to Timothy. And we're taking that their first statement in there is fight the good fight of faith. And it says, lay hold of eternal life. As we're fighting the good fight of faith, I said about it, the Bible says here that faith is a good fight. But the Bible doesn't say faith is a fun fight. It says it's a good fight. The good fight of faith is the fact of any fight that is of faith in God's word, you're fighting in that direction. That is always a winnable fight. That's a good fight that you're in. Hallelujah. In other words, the outcome will be good. It doesn't mean you ain't going to have things along the way that could make things difficult. But I want you to see that last part. It says, lay hold of eternal life. It did not say God is going to lay hold of eternal life. It says you do. You are born again, a child of God. Paul told Timothy he had to lay hold of eternal life. You have eternal life if you are born again. If you're a child of God, you have eternal life. It's not something that you get. Eternal life is not living forever. It is not living forever. Living forever, every spirit being lives forever. People who die and end up going to hell, they live forever. They are forever separated from God. All spiritual beings, angels, demons, whatever, they're all eternal beings. Eternal life is the life of God. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we were born of God. We have the life of God in us. That's what we have. That life of God, we're told to take a hold of that. See, many Christians get born again, but they never take a hold of the life of God in them. They live basically by the outside the same way they always lived. So they're not taking hold of eternal life, that life of God. You want to take a hold of that. That's what you need. You can't fight a good fight without it. There will be no good fights if you don't take a hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. You got to take a hold of the life of God in you. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So it seems that winning these fights of faith is about the abundant life. And we do that by life. God is a life giver. Hallelujah. He's not the life taker. Hallelujah. Jesus came that we might have life. He said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He didn't say God does. The thief does. So we're fighting this good fight. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. He said, I kept the faith. I finished this race. I kept the faith. So Paul talked about the finishing of that fight. Now we're not going to go over all the things that we've gone over before. We've talked about a number of things. We want to look at the fact, this fight that we're in, you're not going to do it without the help of the Holy Spirit in you. You got born again. God gave us the Holy Spirit. He's a helper, the Bible tells us. He's a guide. This is what he do. It is of necessity to take a hold of eternal life that you hook up with your helper. The one that helps you. There's no way to do it without it. You know, we can't, you know, we get the idea sometimes people get sort of locked on faith themselves, but understand this, without the Holy Spirit helping you, you'll never live or fulfill the faith life. You can't do it. Apostle Paul wrote and said, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So in other words, there's a necessity to be follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our Christian walk. Is what the Lord said to me back in February of 1980. I got born again in January. In February, the Lord said to me, if you don't learn how to be led by the spiritual amount to nothing as a Christian. Some 20 years later, he said 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. They don't learn to be led by the Spirit. It don't mean they're bad people, but they can't do the will of God. You can't do the will of God without the Holy Ghost. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. You know, people today, most people follow a religious code. I do this nice thing and I do, hey, it's great to do nice stuff. I do this good thing. I do that. It's nice to do that. But it would be much better if you followed the plan of God for your life. And you can only do that by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who helps us do that. The need of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that I have learned over the years is my great need of the Holy Spirit. My great need. He's my teacher. I wouldn't know the word without him. I wouldn't have revelation without him. Nobody has revelation. You don't get revelation from just reading the Bible. You can read the Bible. Loads of people read the Bible, never get any revelation. I always like these ministers that they get on these TV shows. They'll have like a documentary thing and then they'll get somebody to come on and quote a religious scripture and they'll have this so-called theologian. And they'll get over and make statements. And they make statements and I said, the Bible doesn't even say that any place in the Bible. Don't even say it. See, I don't think he can call himself a theologian, he can call himself a minister or whatever. They make quotes, just because they make quotes, it don't mean it's biblical. They're not biblical. They don't know what the Bible says. Now, if you ask those guys, they probably read the Bible, they probably have done studies, but they're doing it without God. You're doing it without God. You need, without the Holy Spirit's help, He's the one who brings revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If there's anything we need in our nation today is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's for sure. Now, one of the things we had looked at before, but I want to pick up again because of where we're going here. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're going to start at verse 10, and it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord. See, we're in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be strong in Him. That's what we are in Him. In other words, it has to do with about His help. See, He has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in us, working in us. We have strength. You know, the Bible, you know, He wouldn't have told us to be strong in the Lord. He didn't say, be strong, you know, go do a good workout, you know. Get down to the gym, get strong, you know. That. No, He said, be strong in the Lord. He's talking about spiritual power and might. We need to understand this. The lacking today in the church world today is the church is weak spiritually. They don't know hardly anything spiritually. They have no strength in the realm of the Spirit. The things the Bible says that we to be strong in, men are not strong in. They're not strong in what Jesus Christ taught and said. They're strong in their own beliefs and their own ideas. Now He's talking, this is about spiritual strength to deal with spiritual things. This is not dealing with physical things. You know, we do this. This is why a lot of people, we fail in the areas of healing. Because we're trying to approach divine healing from the physical side all the time. We don't use spiritual power. Divine healing is spiritual power to bring about a natural change. Focusing on the physical side isn't how you get it. You don't get it that way. It comes by focusing on the spiritual side of what God says. That's how you get it. You believe that. You operate in faith in that. You walk in the strength of your spiritual belief. You keep yourself built up on the inside concerning what you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, there's things you have to know. And then we'll go on here to read. It says, to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of devil. Now, he's talking about put on God's armor. This is not man's armor. This is nothing physical to put on. We need to understand that. Get that clear. This is not something physical. This we put on. It's spiritual armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Wow, that you can stand against the wiles or the attacks, the schemes. Some translations say schemes. Oh, the devil's a schemer. The schemes of the devil. It's so you can stand against them. Then he makes this statement. Listen, he said, for we don't what? Wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, we're dealing with demonic powers, and you cannot fight them with physical weapons. You know, medicine don't get rid of demons. You can take all the medicine you want. If there's a demonic power behind sickness and disease, it'll just stay there. You can give all the medications you want. That's why a lot of people, doctors run into things they don't understand. Because they'll treat one person for the same things and it don't work. And another person, it works. And they're all confused. Well, sometimes it's working and it don't. They don't realize. Sometimes they're up against a demonic force. But they're keep trying to give medicine. And you know what? The devil don't care how much medicine you take. He got a foothold. He ain't moved by your medicine. He ain't moved because you ate, you know, the free-range chicken. He don't move by that. He don't care. He has no, he'll just stand there and say, keep eating the chicken and I'll kill you. He don't care. He's not moved by that. And so we're in a warfare. Now there's a fight going on. Now that fight tells us, number one, we got to be strong in the Lord and we must have God's armor on. You have to have it. Now, isn't that what it says? You got to be strong in the Lord and you must have God's armor. Let me say, going in this, because we're going to read about the armor. Let me say this to you about all this armor. God's armor is not like armor from a military standpoint. God's armor, you never take off. If you take it off, this is what most Christians do. Christians get in a battle and they'll get into the Word and they're in their battle and they're in the Word trying to fight this thing. And as soon as they figure they've taken care of it, they take the armor off and they just go back over till the next problem comes and they start all over again trying to get the armor back on. We never take the armor off. You don't take the armor. You know, when I was out in the field in Vietnam and that stuff, if we were in a base camp area and stuff like that where combat things would go on pretty much, you never took off all your stuff. And the stuff that you need, you kept it right by you wherever you went. You didn't leave your flak jacket and that stuff off someplace else, you know, over on the other side of the base camp, you know, or something. You kept your stuff with you. See, most Christians are lousy soldiers. The average Christian is a lousy soldier. Number one, they don't believe they're in warfare. They just live it. Well, things just happen. You know how life is. Things just happen. Well, you just open yourself for a lot of things to happen. You know, that's just the way it is. People don't realize there's a lot of things happen because we leave the door open for them to happen. You know, there is really things in life where mistakes are made, where it's not the devil and the person. You know, is anybody here, you've made all the right decisions? You know, like Darlene. Darlene didn't walk down through there and try to trip or try to do something. You know, she caught her foot on something. I doubt if a demon tackled her and knocked her down. So things happen like that. We run into those things in life. And everybody's going to run. At times, we make a mistake. Hey, if you haven't made a mistake, we'll have an altar call for liars. Get you delivered from that demonic lying spirit that you have. And we'll get you straightened out. Hallelujah. Everybody's made mistakes. We've done things. And praise God. God has saved me from more mistakes. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I had one time this happened to me. No lie. I'm working on a table saw. My hand hit the saw blade. Now, number one, you hit a saw blade like that, you don't feel it at first. You know, if you get a cut like that, that thing will cut through and cut fingers off and you won't even notice. I mean, you'll just see blood flying and you won't feel it at first. And my hand hit that, and when it hit it, it was like a piece of stone had hit that blade and it kicked back and kicked my hand back. And not a mark on my hand. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did a little jig and a dance around there. Woo! Glory to God! Woo! God saved me on that one, I'll tell you. Because my hand hit it. I knew my hand hit it. And I didn't even look down at first. I expected to look down and see part of hand missing. That's what I expected to see. And it didn't. And hallelujah, we just did some shouting and carrying on. That was God at work. Hallelujah. So, and we have them and thank God for all that He does. But you know, lots of times we do things that open the door for demonic attack on us. And I don't care how spiritual you are, you will get under an attack. Faith doesn't mean you will never be attacked. It's number one, get a hold of this, you get it in your mind. Lots of times we step into areas, and the reason we're attacked because we're stepping into an area the devil don't want us to go. You see, if you don't ever do nothing, you probably won't get attacked a whole lot. If you don't ever do anything spiritually, if you never try to step, I'm going to tell you what, I was talking about it last week. I've gotten over and God has been dealing with me about stepping into another level. And I'll tell you what, I have had nothing but hell come against me. For the last month, I'm going to tell you what, anything that could happen is trying to happen. Everything is trying, and I know what it is. The devil, I'm moving into a territory he has owned. And he don't want me in that territory. This is what most people do when they get there. They say this, I like to back off to a safe place. But you can't. I can't back off to a safe place. I can't. Because my desire that's in me to fulfill certain things cannot get fulfilled without me going into this place and standing, where I take that ground, where that becomes my ground. See, everybody's looking. They want the Christian life to be an easy life. It's not. Read Paul. If you're going to go to Rome, you're going to have a fight. If you're going to do anything, you're going to have a fight. Most people, the average Christian is a runner. but not toward Jesus. They're running away from, because to head toward Him, there will be a fight. The devil don't want you to arrive at your destination. He doesn't want you to get to the place of the perfect will of God. He don't want you to arrive to the place that God wants you to fulfill His plans and purposes. He don't want you there. And He will do everything to try to stop you from getting there. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus gets full of the Holy Ghost. First thing it is, God sends Him out in the wilderness to be tempted the devil. He's going to set Him right in the face of His enemy. You're going to have to deal with it. You need to understand this. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you have to learn how to face the devil. And we don't always do so well, do we? Sometimes we don't. But you know what? That's warfare. There is no one who has won every battle. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I might not win every battle, but I will win the war. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what. I can get shot at and knocked down, but I will get up. Hallelujah. And the devil's going to have to put up with me again. Hallelujah. And we need to get into that mindset. And we're going to talk about those things because we want to look at one of the things that dealing in the areas of warfare, and we're going to continue in Ephesians 6 there. Because people, now don't get stuck over on the military side of looking at this. These are representations of spiritual things. This is not talking about Paul, just like with Jesus. Jesus would do a parable. The parable was a representation of a spiritual principle or a law of the Spirit or something. Whatever He was trying to portray. That's what this armor's about. You know, I've heard people do teachings on the armor and they get into explaining all how the Romans did this and that and how long their swords were. It don't matter! That's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about spiritual principles, and we need to understand it. And it's pretty easy to understand. He says, now in verse 13, he says, therefore, take up some of the armor of God, whichever piece you like. Whatever makes you happy and you enjoy, take that up. No, he said, take up the whole armor of God for this purpose, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. If you are having a problem standing, it's because you haven't done all yet. Sometimes people enter, you know, there's one thing as I found out. I tried it when I first started off as a Christian. I tried to enter in to take ground I was not ready to take. I did not know what I needed to know to take that ground. I didn't have the spiritual understanding of what I needed to stand. And I had to learn over time, hold it. I need to walk. You know, faith is the knowledge of God. You don't have faith till you know what God said and know the whole thing God said, not part of what God said. See, most people sit in a service and they hear a sermon taught, and they hear one part of it that speaks to them, and they try to run with that part and go do with what somebody else did after years and years of learning about those principles and try to accomplish the same thing. And it don't work. And they think, well, I don't understand. What's wrong with me? What you need is knowledge. You don't have enough knowledge yet. You know, I don't care if you learn how to add. You're not going to do algebra. Forget it. There's more you got to learn than you can do algebra. And see, this is the Christians. Christians, you know, are the average Christian is a baby. They know enough to eat bugs and do things and stuff like that and do things, and they learn how to get in trouble, trying to do what they can't handle. But that's babyhood. That's going through it. You got to get past it. You got to come to the place to say, hey, I need to learn. So what do I have to do? I have to sit down and take time and learn. I gotta figure out what I don't know. I have to study. I have to spend time with God. I gotta spend time listening to the Holy Ghost to teach me. I gotta learn what the Word says about things. You can't get by without taking time. But here he goes on to say, you've done all, then you're supposed to stand. Now, he said, now stand therefore. Now here's how you can stand. You've girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now he says, though, first of all, girding your waist with what? Truth. What is truth? Truth is, Jesus said, my words are spirit, they're life. My word is truth. The Word of God, you're supposed to gird yourself with truth. Number one thing you want to have is truth. You're going to go into a battle, you better know what's going on. You need to know the truth. That's why from a military standpoint, military, they want as much information about what's going on with the enemy, what the enemy's position looks like, what they got before they go there. What? You need to find out. You need to have good intelligence. Many people go into spiritual fights with no intelligence. They don't know what's going on and happened. They're trying to accomplish things not knowing what's going on. Faith is always based on knowing the will of God. Number one, the devil hasn't got a whole lot going for him. You know he's a defeated foe? The Bible says that his weapons were taken from him. Therefore, what does the devil use? What is his biggest thing? The biggest thing that the devil will use against you is lying. He gets you convinced to turn your authority over to him by telling you, you know, you just can't do it, you're weak, you know, you don't know enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this enough, you don't know. He'll lie to you about things. And what happens? People believe the lie. People listen to the lie of their body talking to them. Their body's telling them things. There's things that they see going on around them. Well, I know so-and-so believed that and it didn't work for him. That's what the devil will take you right to that. Well, if it didn't work for him, then he didn't know. No, not us. We're stupid. Well, that's true. Yeah. So I guess I don't work. He'll always take you to those things. He'll even send you people that'll tell you that. The average Christian will follow the guy that didn't make it. The average Christian is going to always follow the defeated person. That's who they're going to follow. That's why so few people succeed. Because the average person's negative. And they're going to follow what didn't work. That's what they're going to do. Most people, because of this, they never have put the armor on. Number one, the armor is based in knowledge. It's truth. You got to know the truth. Jesus said to know the truth will make you free. Truth makes one free. If you don't know the truth, then you're bound. You're going to enter the fight bound, not free. Now, he said, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Understand this. You don't go into a fight with the devil not knowing who you are. See, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One thing that Satan continually throws at people is he'll throw in your face your mistakes in your life, the places where you missed it, what you did when you were 3 years old and he saw you, or what you did with this, or what he'll constantly remind you, and he will never tell you that you're the righteousness of God. You need to come to a place. I don't care if you heard somebody say that you're righteous. I don't care if you read it in the Bible. You need to come to the place with a full knowledge that you know that you're righteous, that you have a right to take the place that you're going to stand in. You have a right to it. You have to know that. We have to put that righteousness on. Those things, what we find in the Word. He said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It isn't interesting. See, we think from this standpoint that people say, most ministers say, he's talking here about preaching the gospel. It's not about preaching the gospel. He's using this as a different context. He's talking about a war, a fight. You gotta go to war, you gotta be at peace. You can't be in turmoil and worried and all this kind of stuff. You're gonna be a lousy fighter in the war. Most people enter a spiritual battle worried, fretful about their problem and things. And the reason they're after it with God is because they want to get it changed, but they really don't know how to do it. And they're trying to come into a place to stand while they're fretting. See, this is talking about, when I was in the service, that's one thing the Lord told me. He said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you how to walk by faith. That's what he told me when I got born again. He said, I'm going to use that training. Well, see, one of the things that they did to us in basic training, when they went to basic training, I said the fact, they don't let your mommy and daddy come to visit you at basic training. At least you didn't then. They used to raise up soldiers. Today, I don't know what they're doing. Anyhow, mommy and daddy couldn't come. And you know what? The sergeant, he would tell you, I'm your mama. From how on, I'm your mama. Well, he didn't treat you like your mama did, who let you get out of everything and always took you. When you didn't do it, she did it for you. He made you do it all and more. But you know what he taught? He taught you one of the things that he taught you obedience. He taught you to obey and obey immediately. What was he doing all these things for? In other words, he was training us how to stay alive. Today, people have a hard time. Disobedient people are dangerous people. In our nation, the majority of pre-pulpit people are dangerous because they're disobedient. They don't listen to authorities. Even people believe, I see people and they say they believe in do it, but you let authority tell them to do something, they'll disobey just as quick as anybody else will. We don't like authority. We don't like it. But there's a purpose in it. We need to understand because there's a payoff to all of this stuff. There's a payoff that comes with this. And here in these things, here is we're dealing with this thing. When you go into a thing of war, they trained us the place really so you could suppress fear. If you can't suppress fear, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You must be able to keep the natural fears down. When you go into combat, you know, it's funny, in Vietnam and things and stuff that went on, I never thought about dying until after things were over. I thought, my God, we could easily got killed in that one. But you never thought about it at the time. It was the most amazing thing because your training would kick in. And it wasn't mama's training, because if you had mama's training, you were dead on the field. Except maybe my mama. My mama was a tough woman. If the enemy wouldn't have killed you, she might. She told you to do something, you best be going and doing it. Thank God, I'm glad. See, I didn't have any problem in the military listening. They were causes, number one, they were working to keep you alive. This is Paul's talking about. Paul wants you to be a success. You need to get the word of God. And you now listen to these things here, because these are very helpful to us. He says, above all, verse 16, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now remember, this is not written in chapter and verse. This was a letter written to a church. So remove, don't think about this stuff in chapter and verses. Because when he says, above all, take the shield of faith, but also he said, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Those are things you definitely want to make sure that you have. You want to make sure that you have those things. In other words, if we would sit down and analyze what's being said, you know what he's talking about? The Word of God in your heart, the Word of God in your mind, and the Word of God in your mouth. That's what he's talking about. You don't get into a battle till you get the Word of God that you're in your spirit, and then get that what's inside of you in your mind. It becomes your way of thinking. Remember, I said this to you. I said, you cannot, like in the natural military, you will never be a good soldier with a civilian mind. If you have a civilian mindset, you are not a soldier. That's why today these people here, you know, over the elections wanted to start a war. All these civilian-minded people thought because they had a gun, they became a soldier. What a bunch of morons. You know, I was in the military, but I'm just going to tell you this. I was 19 years old when I was in Vietnam, and I ain't 19 no more. And I'll tell you what, I ain't no soldier. I could not do now what I could do then. I do not keep myself in a physical training to be able to do that. And all these people think they got a gun, you become a soldier, are the most dumb guys that there are in the world. That's absolute stupidity. Ask George Washington when he got all those guys thought they owned a gun if they were a soldier or not. What that poor man had to go to train an army. Those guys didn't like it after a battle. They'd go home untrained. That's today. And this, all these guys wanted to go down to Washington and fight. After half of them were put in the casket, the other half would have been running. And you wouldn't have seen them around nowhere. It's a whole different thing. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I can fight some spiritual battles. Hallelujah. Because it ain't got nothing to do with age. It does have nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, it has everything to do with training. If you're not disciplined, you are not going to win in these battles. You must be disciplined. You got to get yourself disciplined, just like a soldier does. Where you face hard things, you're not moved. And right now, see, our culture is in the church world badly. I mean, if you go around the Spirit-filled churches, the American culture, it's the ease culture. It's having chairs that are movie theater chairs with your little cup holders and all this kind of stuff. This is the great army of the Spirit-filled church today. This is what we call, people can't take anything. People can't face things. All we want is comfort. You got, and here's one thing is you have to learn. See, nobody can make you become a soldier, like a spiritual soldier. Nobody can make you do it. You're going to have to volunteer and put yourself in situations. You're going to have to do that. I can't do it for you. You're going to have to, you need to do this. You need to get yourself and let God put you into training situations. Most people will not do it. They won't go to a training situation. Jesus did. He went into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. What was that about? Training. This, he was going to step into a ministry like nobody has ever stepped in before. And you know what? It's going to require discipline. Wasn't it really easy on him going in that training? Everybody was so excited. Everybody was just excited to see him show up and doing all these things. He found out that the people were as bad as the devil. Hallelujah. Might as well laugh. Glory to God. Have a good time. Hallelujah. But we need to understand this. See, we got to get the Word of God inside of us. See, that's why you can't take this off. You can't. You got to get the Word in you. And then get that Word inside of you. Get that thing, a revelation of that Scripture into your mind, where your mind starts thinking in line with what's inside you. That life of God that's in you gets in your mind. The righteousness of God, of that inner man, gets to become the thoughts of your mind. You become thinking in that manner. You think like that. You think in the areas of that stuff. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's what I have. That's what, it's got to be coming dawn on you, because you're going to face things that are naturally going to want to make you afraid to do things. Well, if we do that, I go do that. That caused a lot of problems. But the Word says go do it. Well, I don't know. See, you got to get yourself the opponent. That's the thing to do. And I'm not going to be afraid. See, if you're afraid, what you're saying is this: I don't think this might work. See, you learn to bring that and suppress that fear that God's Word may not produce what it says. It may not do it. You see, in the military, they taught us naturally from that standpoint. I mean, you're out there, people are physically shooting, things are happening. It's like I told the story many times. The first time I was in a rocket attack in Vietnam, we were in our beds, our bunks inside, and laying there, and it was the strangest things, because they were firing 122 millimeter rockets. They had to carry 100 pounds of plastic explosives. So, you know, like, you think it's four times more powerful than dynamite. So you got about, it's like 400 pounds of dynamite coming over to land down on you. That's exciting, you know. And there's little M80 firecrackers. They say, oh, man, that really makes a crack. You ain't heard nothing till you heard one of those go off. And they'll throw debris and dirt a long way. And I'll never forget it, though. You're laying in bed, and all of us are there laying. And all of a sudden, everybody just seemed woke up at the same time. There had not been a boom. There's this quiet sound going, shh, overhead. It's a rocket. So the first rocket passed over us, and everybody woke up with a shh. And I mean, in an instant, I bet within 15 seconds, everybody was out of their bed and heading toward the bunker on the outside. Within probably 20 seconds, everybody's in the bunker, and we're all sitting inside. We're inside, and the first rocket just hit. We're inside. But see, training. They train you what to do. Now, if you had here the average person today, what would they do if a rocket hit near their home? The average guy who has a gun and thinks he's some kind of soldier, he would run outside to see what it was and to see what's going on. He'd be the idiot out there when the second one hit, and then we would be burying that one arm and one leg we found. But you know how they trained us with that? They made us crawl past pits that were loaded with explosives and have them going off around us. But you learn to keep yourself focused of where you're going to, not paying attention to those things. You have a destination that you're heading for. And they train you. And it's amazing. They train you to do it. And you get out there in the natural. When the war, you're out there actually in a war, you do those things. It's amazing. You do them. Why? They didn't take you through it one time. They made you mad and made you do it every day and how many times they took you through that stuff. And you think, man, why do they have us doing this again? And exactly. See, if you don't like repetition, you'll never be good at much in your life. Nobody's ever good at anything after they've done it a lot. You've done it a lot. You've done it a long time. See, there's one thing, I've learned this a long time. You know, I watch guys do things and they look so easy and you go over and try it and say, dear God, so simple for them to do, but you go over and do it, it ain't simple at all, you know? Wow, they've done it for so long, it's just a natural thing that they do. It's become part of what they are. It can be in the same way in your spiritual life. It's just part of what you do. It's just what you are. And see, you get the Word of God in you. Number one, you'll build a sensitivity in yourself to things around you. You will learn to understand danger when it's around you, when nobody else notices it. I saw that in my Christian walk. I'd be around Christian leaders, and I would know things aren't right, and none of them would notice. They get over in the natural. So what happens to us, people get around where they start living a really good life as a minister, and they get their ministry pretty big, and they get pretty much money in their pockets and their stuff like that. They become insensitive to spiritual things because they're living pretty good. So they don't pay attention. They have other people that take care of stuff that they should be taking care of. They should be paying attention to. They got 100 people praying for them every day. They don't pray much. They don't realize their success is based on what other people are doing. It's not on them. Oh, and they get to heaven and find out that those 100 people pray and get the reward for what they did. Are they going to be shocked? Are they going to be shocked? See, John G. Lake recognized that. John G. Lake recognized. He said, when I got to Africa, I realized that anointing came on me. He said, I didn't recognize it was nothing like it had been on me before. He said, I realized where it came from. There was people praying for me. And he said, I realized they prayed this anointing on me. He recognized that. Today, they'll get up and tell you like they did it all. Those poor boys are going to find out a few things. Because this thing is coming to an end. And everybody's going to find out who really did what. Hallelujah. You know, there's things that if you want to stay sharp at, you can't quit doing. You can't put it into somebody else's hands. Especially with your own spirituality. Don't put it into somebody else's hand. Hallelujah. That's one thing as I appreciate with Brother Hagin. He never put his spirituality in other people's hands. And he taught us that. I thank God I had that kind of a teacher. I want us to look at something because we want to deal. Well, let me finish reading here though in verse 18 of Ephesians. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance supplication for all the saints. Now he said, you put on this armor. Then he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now I want to talk about that praying in the Spirit. Now, when lots of times people talk about praying in the Spirit, really, there's two ways to pray in the Spirit. There's two ways to do it. One way to pray is praying in other tongues. Number one, he said you pray for all the saints. Now, there's things that we could pray for Christians that we know the Scripture tells us to. You know, there's prayers in Ephesians and Colossians and things. There's prayers, and Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. He said concerning prayer, he said he would pray in the with his spirit and he would pray with his understanding. So you could pray with your understanding certain things. But see, those prayers aren't a cover-all for what people, everything person needs. They're not a cover-all. See, if we're going to pray for all the saints, there ain't no way you can know what everybody really needs, could you? If you could, I'm going to tell you, you're God. We should be worshiping you. You couldn't do that. So he said, while we pray for everybody, we do it in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues. When a man prays in tongues, he's not speaking unto men, but unto God, the Bible says. I'm praying in the Spirit. I am praying something outside of my own understanding. I don't understand it, but I can pray for people that way. Also, another way to pray in the Spirit, sometimes, and I have this happen, I've had this happen many times, I get over praying and even praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I begin to pray well, under the spirit of prophecy comes on me, and it's in the spirit. I begin to pray outside of my knowledge of things. Outside of my knowledge, I begin to pray, starts coming out of me, and I'll start praying under the spirit of prophecy. So you can do that. See, one of the things is we should become familiar with that, because Paul talked about everybody ought to prophesy. Well, prophesy is speaking under the anointing of God. That's what it is. You need to learn about that because it should operate in your prayer life. You should have at times where you move over into the area where God will move you into place and you begin to pray with the spirit of prophecy. I've had that numbers and numbers of times where that takes place. Even last Sunday it happened up here. I began to pray and all of a sudden, man, the anointing come on. See that anointing? Whoa, when that comes on, you're talking on a whole different level now. We need more of that. We don't have much of that. People are only praying from their own, from themselves, out of their own mental, and it's good. I mean, from your own faith, from inside of you. But I'm going to tell you, you step into a level up here when you step in there. And sometimes this is what I have happened. I step over into that, and it ain't just the spirit of prophecy. The gift of faith goes into operation, and I start speaking out things, and they're going to come to pass. See, we always think about laying hands on people and gifts operating there. We know very little. I have had more gifts operate at times under while praying than I have out around doing things with people. Gifts go into operation. And that's why you want to get over in that area where things will start to operate under there. Especially, it's powerful. God starts, when that happens to me, I always know when it's taking place because I'm talking, but it's coming out of my mouth, but it's like I'm listening to it. Because I'm, you know, this ain't coming out of my mind. My mind's looking at it. It's coming out, that's flowing up out of the inner man by the Holy Ghost, and it's coming up out of me in a supernatural manner. See, we need more supernatural. We need supernatural prayer lives. Most people will only ever have a natural prayer life. That's all they have. That's all they ever move to. But we need to see beyond and we need to want. See, I talk to God all the time. See, I want the supernatural. I am tired of the natural. I'm tired of what can only be gained by my mentality. Aren't you? Hallelujah. I sure need more. Do you need more? I do. Hallelujah. So those things, now don't tell me, there's people that do it a whole lot more than I do. There's people who know a whole lot more about some of these things. But I want you to look at Romans. We'll use this scripture in closing today. But I want you to see in Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll go on from here later and teach more about, you know, the renewing of the mind. But in Romans, the 12th chapter, this is a very important scriptures here about the renewing of the mind. In Romans, the 12th chapter says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is the first verse, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the presentation of our bodies, one of the things that, and I had said to, in teaching, it's talking things about the end times on Wednesday night. I said this because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about it. The Spirit of the Lord said this. He said, I don't know exactly when, but I'm going to start doing some teaching on sanctification. Boy, we need it in the church world. There's no sanctification taught. We're trying to teach people faith to walk by faith, and their faith ain't going to ever work. People don't start living right. Their faith will never work. They can say all the confessions they want. They can do all their stuff they want. It ain't going to work. There's a sanctification. And when we talk about sanctification, I'm not going to go in and teach it now. There's a sanctification in thought. You need to get a sanctified mind. Many people don't have sanctified thinking. You know, there's many people seem very nice, but they got evil minds. All around people, they're very nice, but they got evil. They're thinking bad all the time. They're always thinking. Their thoughts are always yielded toward evil, thinking evil stuff, thinking bad things all the time. You got to get a sanctified mind. You don't get a sanctified mind, you ain't going very far. Sanctification of thoughts in them. Now, because, you know, sanctification is number one. We know when we want to get our bodies over, get sanctified. In other words, we don't yield to things of the flesh we ain't supposed to be doing. But we need to also deal with the sanctification of thought. To get ourselves where we're thinking holy. We're not thinking impure. See, many people do those kinds of things. They're not thinking in the right manner. They're not thinking the right way. You need to understand these things are hugely, enormously important. We as Christians. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be teaching about sanctification, what the Bible says, and it'll make your hair stand up. It might even give you hair. Might, who knows? I could use a little more on the top there, and we could use some. Hallelujah. But he said, by the mercies of God, brother, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, this is the reasonable thing for you to do as a Christian. It's reasonable. It's only reasonable. Now, he's going to tell us something. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Understand this. You have a renewed mind problem if the body is out of control. If the body is out of control, then you have an unrenewed mind. You need to face that. See, most people, what we do have a tendency to do things naturally. We have a problem, we put all of our focus on that problem. Never about what causes the problem. We're always focused on that. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I heard it years and years back. I heard him say when I first became a Christian, and over the years, I heard him say it hundreds of times. He said, the number one problem in the church world is an unrenewed mind. That's the number one problem. Number one, unrenewed minds. People mostly think, well, they don't like to hear Christians don't. Loads of Christians have worldly thinking. Now, if you would have went in Jesus' day and you would have went to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and you'd have said they had worldly thinking, my God, they'd want to kill you, which was proof they did have worldly thinking. But we don't have worldly thinking. Oh, no, uh-uh. I don't care if you know the word of God. You can be have worldly thinking. You put it in line with the thinking and the stuff you got. There's one thing that I realized when I got born again. I had been taught a lot of religious things and a lot of things that I believed. And I found this. You get saved, you got to renew your mind or you will think the same way you thought before. And you know what I did? I bought all that squirrely teaching over in with me. And this is something that I found over the years, that most people never get rid of their squirrely thinking. They just keep adding things. They see truth and they bring that truth in, but they don't throw the other stuff out. They mix it up in it. And they ended up with a tainted thinking. See, I found that I had to do that. I had to start throwing things out. Some things are hard to throw out. They get deep-seated in your thinking. And you go along and you hear something new, and it wants to keep coming up on you. Did you ever have that? Do you ever have that? There's things want to keep coming up on you and you just got to keep on. Well, you're going to have that and you must get those things out. You know, there's things about it. Kenneth Hagin talked about this and this will help you. Kenneth Hagin was raised as a young boy growing up. He had gained a fear of people insane because it's his mother lost her mind and she used to try to kill herself. And he said he was a six-year-old kid, and his grandma would put him in the kitchen and say, when I'm out doing the laundry here, don't let your mom come in the kitchen, because she would fight to get in the kitchen to get a butcher knife to kill herself. And he said, growing up as a kid, he said, that got into me. He said, I became scared of him. He said, when I first got born again, and he said, I was even got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I found out I had a fear of insane people. And he said, I went to the Lord about it. He said, I know I shouldn't have. See, that thing carried on. He never got rid. He never dealt with that. There's things that a lot of Christians never deal with in their life. See, this is one of the things. First thing God didn't tell me was how to make $1 million. When I got saved, God started teaching me on how to be a decent person and how to get my life straight. And see, we don't do that in the church world anymore. We bring them in to teach them how to give offerings first. That's the biggie. We got to give them money. Let's get that in here. We got to teach them this stuff. We got to teach them. And we don't teach people. The first thing people need to learn is how to get their life under control. So you need to learn. I thank God. God taught me how to get my life under control. I was out of control. And I thank God because there's things that I had to deal with about myself. There's things that got deep-seated. You know, over time, you get out living in sin, things get deep-seated. Things get in there in your mind. There's spirits I used to yield to. I can't yield to them anymore, yet they want me to. I have to learn how to resist that. I have to learn how to do that, to stay away from those things. I've got to get the Word in me where I'm strong in the Word. And when those things come, I can hold them back. So you have to learn how to do those things. Now some of those areas don't have as much problem in those areas, but they'll have other areas. I find, you know the hardest thing to deal with? Religious beliefs. That is worse than being a drug addict. The hardest thing is to release people from their religious thinking. Because they take it, man, they take it as this is God. And they just hold it. And they don't want anybody to touch it. It's their sacred cow, and don't you deal with it, man. You say anything, I'll hate your guts. I'm so spiritual, I'll hate you if you try to touch it. You go in touching their religious things, and they'll turn on you quicker than any group of people. Look who turned on Jesus the quickest. It's always the religious. They'll turn on you the quickest. They get upset the quickest. So you can find out if you have things that really tick you off quick. Check out, make sure you ain't have a religious belief. Hold it! Because I found myself. God had to deal with me over the past couple of years about certain things. It's just like, let that alone. It don't matter. You have to, sometimes the things we have to know what's important to do and what's not important to do. Finding out what we need to get done. But dealing with things that we need to understand. So Kenneth Hagin had troubles. He had to learn to deal with that. And the Lord told him, because he went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, I'll teach you and I'll show you what to do. You'll overcome. And he said that he went on to teaching things where the Lord had taught him how to overcome and the fear of dealing with that. So see, he had a fear. And that fear, he could not be a success getting past, he had to get past that fear. Fear, those kind, now we're not talking about being like afraid of a snake or something like that. It's when you have fear spiritually of things you're afraid to touch into, that you're afraid to go to, you know this. You got a problem that has to be dealt with because that thing will eat into other areas. It will always affect other areas. Always. It does. Fears about things in the spirit will close doors to you in areas, keep you out from going as far as you want to go. See, we need to come to the place when it comes to spiritually, we're fearless. But the Word of God puts such a strength in us. Now, you don't arrive there overnight. Over time, you learn to become strong. Over time, you learn, do the things. Pray a lot in other tongues. You don't pray much in other tongues, you're never going to really be much of strong. You're not going to do much. Learn, pray in other tongues a lot. Do that. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. What you do know, get strong in it. Just turn around and listen to teaching ain't going to make you strong. Number one, you got to start doing the Word. Start acting on it. Act on the Word. If you don't act on what you know, you'll never be strong. You know, you might think certain things are insignificant. It's the Word of God. It's never insignificant. You don't do the little things. God ain't going to show you big things. You ain't going there. You learn to do the little things. You learn to do the little stuff. See, that's where how to learn. God taught me how to do little things. How to be responsible with little things. You know, when I was a kid, spiritual baby starting off, I wanted the big stuff. You know, give me the big stuff. Give me the big thing, God. Yeah, you want that. But you know what? You're never going to be successful going to the big things. You learn them at the little things. Being faithful with those little things. Practicing the Word in those areas. So learn to do that. But now he says down here in this scripture, hallelujah. He said, so he told us, we want to present our bodies. He said that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how you get this transformation? By the renewing of the mind. And it's for this purpose, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He's saying three things. You get your mind renewed. So there's three different things concerning for you and I. It says we got to prove what is good. We got to prove what is acceptable and what's perfect. Most people, the average Christian, gets born again, that's the good. That's good. And most Christians, as far as they go, they learn the good will of God. Then there's ones who come to the place, the acceptable will of God, and there's those who come to the perfect will of God. The more you renew your mind, the further you can go up to maintaining your body under control. You are not going to get into the acceptable and perfect will of God with a body that's not under control. You never need to keep your flesh under. So I want to teach on sanctification. Many people want to grow spiritually without, you can't grow spiritually without sanctification. Dealing with the flesh. You got to deal with the flesh. Now he tells us here, there's a transformation that takes place. Now that word transform is a Greek word where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's a metamorphosis. Like we talk about it, like say, a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, or, you know, there's different kinds. You see this in nature, where you'll have a larvae that looks like one thing and turns into something completely different. And that's what it is. It's a supernatural thing. It is not natural learning. This is why This is one of the reasons why sometimes educated people have a very difficult time with the Word of God, because they're always trying to do it mentally. They're trying to understand things mentally. This is not a mental experience. This is something. Revelation comes by the Spirit. And so it isn't who's the brightest person. It isn't who's the smartest of the bunch. It has nothing to do with it. The Word comes by revelation. It is a metamorphosis, which means there is a, it takes your regular mind that you have and translates it into something that's completely different than what you had before. And only in the involvement of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can do that. And see, you need to come to that place to understand that. Understand it. This happens. You know, some people, you know, God reveals things to them and they think they're just really smart, like they're bright. You didn't get there, you say. You couldn't have done it by yourself. It's a metamorphosis, and you must have that change in there. This is why you got to spend time with God. You cannot become spiritually sound following the world all the time and doing the world. You know, kids, this is why people spend so much time online and all this stuff and doing things. That's why they're never going to get spiritual. They ain't going to get spiritual. You're following all the time, filling yourself with stuff and lists of things. You know, it's, well, this is good stuff. It doesn't matter if it's good. You know what? I don't care what the latest funny thing somebody said or did. You can't follow all the time those kind of things. You can't do that. Especially to get your mind. Today, did you ever notice you're in a mental fight? I'll tell you what, I've been having a mental fight going on, and I want to tell you what, it's keeping myself focused. Dear God. And there's all kind of things that wants to get me all focused. There's things that need to be done, and I ain't doing it because I know I got to stay focused over here till I get this thing fixed in my mind. I get this thing fixed in my mind. Then we'll move on. And see, people don't realize it. I see this all the time. People, like, they're sick and they're going to end up dead. And I know they're going to end up dying and dead because they won't focus themselves to renew their mind like they need to. They're focused on all of this and that and the other thing and this stuff and that stuff and everything. And they won't get themselves focused where their mind can be changed, where this metamorphosis can take place, where they can become a butterfly. They only stay a caterpillar. That's all they ever stay is a caterpillar. And you know what? The caterpillar, hey, if he don't turn, he's dead. You know, it ain't gonna work. And see, we need to come over to that thing's understanding. The metamorphosis, it's a supernatural. This is a supernatural thing that takes place by the Holy Spirit in a person's mind. It is the Word of God, is the life. It's that seed of the Word of God that Peter talked about. That incorruptible seed. And the Holy Spirit plants the knowledge of that seed into your spirit. You're meditating, and that revelation comes. Then you want to get that revelation on your mind. Because one, you don't get it into your mind. I don't care how much it's in your spirit. It ain't going to ever produce till it gets in your mind. It gets into your mind. And your mind, see, because this is the problem. Your body is fighting against you all the time. And if your mind and body are fighting against you, 10-1, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You know what? I mean, 3-1 usually don't work out well. 2-1 don't work out well, you know? And when you're having, and you got two of them fighting against, this is why. The renewed mind is a huge thing. An enormous thing. You want to get your mind. Let me read this scripture to you. There's scriptures, there's two of them in Proverbs, because there's a part of the one scripture I want you to get. In Proverbs 23:6-7 says, do not eat the bread of a miser. It says, nor desire his delicacies. Now listen why. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And he goes on to say, eat, drink, he says to you, but in his heart, he's not with you. I want you to get that, because the Lord spoke to me about this yesterday and told me to bring this up. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. This is why you got to get the Word of God in you, in your heart, and then you got to get it on your mind. Because you're going to follow. You're going to follow after something. You're going to follow after. But however you are, a person thinks in his heart. This is what? Letting the Holy Spirit work inside of you. Proverbs 23:6-7, and verse 7 says, for as he thinks, it opens with, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And understand that. It takes time, getting the Word in you. That's why God said to Joshua, you meditate on the Word day and night. He said, why? So you can be successful. You can have good success. It isn't something you do a little bit of. takes time, takes a lot of time. And we don't want to spend that time. We're a people who want the reward without this time spent that it takes. We're so fast. We want everything quick. That's our society today. Our society is so messed up. And the church has got it the same thing. The church is as messed up as a society. Everything's supposed to come easy. Everything's supposed to be, I go to church, and so I heard the pastor preach. I heard that sermon. Yeah, that was really good. Well, did you meditate on that sermon this week? No. The average person, if I sit and say to them, well, what did I preach last week? They don't even know. They know what's said. Why? Because, well, I heard it this week and that last week, and that was really good, but, I'm ready for something new. They even got the old. And you know what it comes to is what Jesus said. I always speak to them in parables because they ain't going to learn a thing. I'm going to tell you, I'm amazed God hasn't shut his mouth in America yet. Because most people ain't learning a thing. We tell people to study, they don't. I really love it. The Christians yelling and that stuff about the school system today. How bad this is and all this green at home. Wow, they're acting just like the Christians don't pay no attention to the Word of God, don't spend no time in it. Why on earth we be mad what school's doing? They're acting just like the Christians. We want our kids to get an education, but we don't see the importance that we do. I ducked down back here. Hallelujah. I want to read you a scripture. This will give you some understanding. Now, we use the thing, and you've heard me say many times, going from glory to glory. Now, we use that and pull that out, but you want to hear it in its context. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, this is this. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we're transformed. That's the same word, metamorphosis. How are you transformed by that? By the Spirit of the Lord. You are transformed. See, you ain't hooked up with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, he's the teacher of the Word. By Him. How do you go from glory to glory? See, you can't do it without the Word and Spirit. We talk about, we want to go, there's going to be a move of God. We're going to go from glory to glory. No, you're not. You're going to have to do it the same way the Bible says. You don't have a move of God and you go from glory to glory just because we have a move of God. You have been supposed to be going from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Going from glory to glory. See, as God gives revelation, we need to get a hold of that revelation. So we go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. We want to go from glory to glory. Now, I read this last week and we'll read it. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 through 5. We read this last week. The Lord had me read it. But it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. So we were talking about weapons of our warfare. It's the Word of God. We get the Word of God in us. We get it in our spirit, in our mind, and in our mouth. Hallelujah. Get it in our walk. Glory to God. Is what we're doing. But what is it? Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not for fighting people. They are not for concept. They're not for fighting people. That's not what it is. We're dealing with spirits that are behind things that are causing trouble. We're dealing with these. Now, what did he say we have to do in this fight? We're casting, now he says, for pulling down strongholds. And he says, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you see what we're doing? It's about thoughts. It's about thoughts. It's about the mind. The warfare is about the mind. See, I remember all these people talk about spiritual warfare. And they deal with it as a prayer, just a prayer thing. You might be praying and doing things about, and you are in things in the spirit, but we need to understand this. What this spiritual warfare here hasn't got a thing to do with prayer. It's you walking out here in your everyday life and you're getting bombarded. You're walking by faith as you know how, and you're getting bombarded with thoughts that go against your faith. And you got to learn to take them thoughts into captivity. You can't keep doing what you're doing wrong and take those thoughts into captivity. See, you got to take them and say, no, no, no. This is what the Word says. This is spiritual warfare. We constantly walk in spiritual warfare. That's why you have to have the armor on all the time. It is not something that happens once in a while. Whether you're running and hiding, you're in a spiritual warfare and the devil's winning. He holds your thoughts. Hallelujah. He's not going to hold our thoughts. Glory to God. We know the Word of God. We're going to stand on the Word of God. And see, we can fight this warfare. This is a warfare that can be fought. We have the supernatural power of God and the Holy Spirit to have a supernatural transformation. God's given us, we're not trying to do this naturally. My God, I got the Holy Ghost of God inside of me renewing my mind. Hallelujah. Man, I got something inside of me that's a working. Glory to God. See, you got to change the way you think. See, nobody's strong in the Lord who's trying to do it themselves, I just can't understand this. Quit, get out of your crazy mind and get in your heart a little bit, you and the Holy Ghost, and your mind will get transformed. You're too stupid to figure it out. I arrived at that point. Ed's too stupid. And I'll tell you what, if you ain't arrived yet, you're really stupid. You come to the thing, this isn't about brain power. This is about Holy Ghost power that gives a transformation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You want to be a scholar? Let the Holy Ghost make you one. Glory to God. That's what we need in this earth. We need people, some Holy Ghost scholars. We don't have them. We have people that are so filled with so much earthly stuff and earthly things. We need this metamorphosis. We have a dire need for it. We need revelation. We're in a time of battle spiritually in this nation that it has never faced. And it is not going to be changed by what people have known. Because they have no experience in this war. I've told the Lord, said, Lord, some of these things, I don't know what to do. I said, Lord, I ain't got a clue what to pray about some of these things. I have not got a clue. All I think is, I'm amazed you ain't thrown us under the bus yet. I'm just shocked that you haven't said, America, I'm fed up with you to hear. And I said, God, I don't even know what to think about it anymore. I said, when I look at it, I can't even think right. When I think of you having mercy, how can you do that? How do you do that? I want to know. How can you be that merciful? You don't know either. All these people that talk about the love of God, they're the ones that know it the least. They're not, all they know is fleshly, natural, human love. I feel sorry for everybody. That ain't love. Feeling sorry for people ain't love. It's humans that don't know what to do acting dumb. It ain't even near the compassion of God. Because the compassion of God will do something. And I say to God, God, I got to learn what to do. I don't know. I need that compassion that rises up in me that can do something about things other than say, oh, God, I know you love them. But I need more of something in me. Hallelujah. And you know what? I believe I'll have a metamorphosis. What do you think? Hallelujah. Let's have one. Glory to God. Let's have a metamorphosis instead of staying the way we have been on these things. Let's go to something higher. Glory to God. I tell you, that's what I'm ready to do. Go to something greater. We're in a thought battle. Let's not let our minds limit us in this thing. We pull down, it says, it's not called mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These thought strongholds, they're strongholds. Your thoughts that aren't in line with God is a stronghold and may keep you from being able to ever have the perfect will of God in your life. And you need to recognize that. Well, I just don't think, we treat all that stuff with simplicity like, oh, there's no big deal, you know. We don't realize the big deal is of what's been going on in our minds. What's been going on in our minds has showed up in the year 2020. Our mind showed up in 2020. And you know what? It was pretty sickening to see the mind. I said, dear God, man, when we should have taken a hold of things, we were unable to. We ran into a spiritual war, and the church got its rear end kicked into the next year. And the half of the dummies are still prophesying stupid. And people are still watching them and sending them money. Beyond me. Just beyond me. Hold it. We got to change this thing. And I don't know how to do it without God. I don't know how to. But I know this. It keeps coming to me. Things can be changed. It just keeps coming to me. I don't know what to do about it all. But I'll tell you, God, whatever part, you give me a part, whatever that part, let's just take that part, whatever it might be. I might not know how to do the whole thing. Maybe he's showing somebody else another part. Maybe, but whatever I can get a hold of, however I can get my mind with your mind, God, where I got your mind instead of mine. That my thoughts, I want my thoughts gone, I want to have yours. Now you might have thoughts, see, I'm willing to give up every thought I have. You know, some thoughts might be okay and all right to keep, but I've just put them all up for sale for God. I said, God, whatever you want to change about my thinking, it's all right. Let's change this thing. I want a metamorphosis because I want to get a hold of what He wants to get a hold of. Hallelujah. I want this going from glory to glory. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought, some thoughts, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, God would have never said those things if we can't do them. It would have been totally, if God told us to do something and you can't do it, I mean, that's unjust. That's an unrighteous act. He said we can bring every thought to captivity. And see, that's when we begin to see that. You and I, folks, can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, we need to start right now in this age, one of the major things we need to start, the church needs to start to deal with thought. We're trying to grab a hold of things down yonder. I want the thoughts of God about His plan, what He wants to do. I want to become clear about His perfect will right now. I want to become very clear. You know, God's had me over reading by John G. Lake. I'll tell you, I have been stunned of things that I have read concerning that man and never saw when I read them. I'm stunned. I said, God, when I read this, did you add pages after I went through it? I said, dear God. But you know, there's one thing as I see him. One thing I see about the man and the quality and people that were around him, their idea for the perfect will of God was everything. It was everything. It wasn't something to have. It was everything. They didn't want ministry without it. They didn't want to do things. They wanted to know what God wanted, and they wanted to think like He thought. They didn't want to have their ways and their thought. They didn't want to have them. They wanted to make sure. They understood this. You don't start endeavors till you have the mind of God. We start most endeavors today in the church with our own thoughts and own minds of things we would like to do. Most of what's built in the church in America today is man's. Most of it. I'm not criticizing people. We, the faith people, got over and thought we could just confess anything we want, and we didn't realize we need to get in line with God, then confess. We have confessed things that have been good, but they're not the will of God. We have set things in motion that He didn't have in His plan and purpose. He had better. And I said, God, I repent. What do you want? I want to know. I'm not happy with goodwill. I'm not happy, you know, I'm not talking about goodwill down the street here. I'm not happy with goodwill, acceptable will. America depends on the perfect will of God today. If we don't get it, we ain't going to get much out of this thing. And I want to tell you what. It's not out of our reach. Not at all. It's not out of our reach. And you know what? We don't have to wait for somebody else to get it. You and I as individuals can take a hold of God's perfect will for our lives. We can grab a hold of it. We can take it. The Holy Ghost will lay it out for us. He'll get it in our minds for us to fulfill it and to do it. Thank God. You know, somebody in certain ministry may do certain things and he's following the will of God. But what is it for me, Lord God? What is it for me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to think? What do you want me to do? Follow that plan. That's what we want to come to. is finding that place for me. You have the Holy Ghost in you for that purpose, to find out for you in your will. Knowing, because when you step in the face of God, you can't going to ever have a prayer life and you don't know if you're in the will of God or not. Most people, I ever ask a question of the will of God in their life, they don't really know. They don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. I know they can't have much of a prayer life. You can't have, it's one of the things I might teach on is conscience. If you don't know you're in the will of God, your conscience will bother you and your prayer life stinks. We need to be able to approach God, clear conscience, walk into His presence with a righteousness by faith, knowing I belong there and I'm going to ask, He's going to do it. That's faith. Faith is not coming in as the beggar. I'm going to make the good confession and I guess the confession will bring it to pass. No, it won't. A defiled conscience of an individual. Well, I don't care. You can confess till the cows come home. And all you get is the cows coming home. That's all you get. See, we're dealing in areas of our conscience. We need to have a clear conscience. Some people have bad consciences and they have done a thing wrong. They just believe the lie of the devil. They don't take thoughts into captivity. And their conscience bothers them. They see themselves in a weak failure. He always reminds them where they missed it in their life. And they've drugged that dead body along with them, you know. And they got that dead thing they've been carrying around with them. And they carry around. And the devil's lied to them. They haven't done anything bad or evil, but because of wrong thought. Wrong thought keeps them ashamed in the presence of God. They can't step in the presence of God. Loads of Christians have been taught and trained that they're not the righteousness of God. The Bible says you are, but you're still just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, you're just a sinner. All you ever got was your sins forgiven, and that's all you got. And other than that, you're going to make it into heaven, you old scumbag. You know, you worthless. And that's what they feel like. I'm never good enough. I heard this one minister, he said to me, you know, I don't believe you can ever pray enough. And I said to him, I said, isn't God a moron? He provided a prayer life for me that I can't do. Isn't he pretty stupid? I said, you walk around and think that sounds spiritual. I said, you don't want to, you just said God's an idiot. I'm going to tell you what, the church is full of idiot ministers. And they're spirit-filled. Where they're full of idiots running around talking this cliche stuff. Your mind's been filled with cliches. Get them out. I could never do enough for God. God, if that's true, I can never do the perfect will of God. I can never do enough. Whoever, they say those things like it's some kind of spiritual castle that we come and bow to. It's like, my God, that's the devil talking. The devil just spoke through that man's mouth and the church cheered. I'm going to tell you what, you can do the will of God. Hallelujah. You can fulfill His plans and purposes. Hallelujah. You can pray enough. You can hook up. You can do His will. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, we will. Hide and watch. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know about you, I preach me happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're the church of Jesus Christ. This is a winnable war that we're in, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're not going to back down. It doesn't matter if we're facing things, no matter what it sees. We don't face this thing alone. We're facing it with Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and our Father God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if God can't put me over, there wouldn't be a chance in the world we'd ever go. We all might as well quit today and say, let's just go home and be with Jesus. But I want to tell you what. Hallelujah. You and God are more than enough. You and God are more than enough. Hallelujah. God put the Holy Ghost in you, and I'll tell you what, He's going to give you a glorified mind. He's going to take you from glory to glory. That's the will of God for you, folks. That's the will of God. Just look in the mirror. Hallelujah. Look in God's mirror. Quit looking in the world's mirror. Quit looking at Facebook mirror. Quit looking at all these things that go out here, all this stuff. Quit looking at the news media's mirror. Everybody got a mirror today they want to stick in front of you. Hallelujah. But God has a mirror. Hallelujah. He wants to show you a champion. He wants you to look in the mirror. The one who overcomes every time. The one who, Lord, triumphs every time. Hallelujah. Is victorious in every situation. Look in that mirror. Look at the soldier in that mirror. Look in that one with the armor on. And let the devil cringe. Hallelujah. He's going to have to face you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything's in place. Devil, here I come. Glory to God. I'm looking for a place to stand. And if you're there, that's where I'm going to stand. Hallelujah. I'm taking that spot just because you had it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. We're a people taking our place. Hallelujah. That's what we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not squirrely minded. We're God minded in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is doing His work in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we have a supernatural change going on. Our thinkings and our mind, Lord God, is being changed. Lord God, we're being taken from one glory to another. Not one failure to another. One glory to another. Lord God, we're taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. You put the mind of Christ in us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you that mind is overtaking us. Hallelujah. Because we're yielding to it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not running from it. Lord God, we want to take on the heavenly thoughts. We want to take on the thoughts that are from above and not from beneath. Lord God, hallelujah. We're walking in that place. We're children of God. We're going to take throne thinking, Lord God. We've been seated in heavenly places. We're people of authority. Hallelujah. We have a righteousness that is as glorious as God's Himself because it's His righteousness. And I want to thank you, Lord God. We sit on our place of throne. We have been placed there by God Himself, and we will not cower down. We will never consider ourselves as unworthy because we are worthy by Jesus Christ Himself to sit on the throne. Hallelujah. And we take our place of authority. We refuse defeat in the name of Jesus. We will have victory. Hallelujah. Our minds will stay clear and clear in thought. Hallelujah. Father God, where we will overcome again and again and again and again. And Lord God, we will advance and advance and advance. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're on a race. Hallelujah. And in this race, we're moving, taking property, taking land as we go along from one glory to another till we hit the finish line. And all that the devil thought he held will hold no more. Hallelujah. Because we will arise in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And meet our Savior face to face. And when we do that, it's in a glorified body. Hallelujah. The full victory. Glory to God. The full victory. And that's the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're in the race and we're moving. Hallelujah. We're not slowing down. We're picking up speed, Lord God. We're moving faster down this thing. Hallelujah. Lord God, in our own minds, we think we don't know enough, but we've got the mind of God in us that will reveal all that we know and need to know and understand and comprehend, and we will comply with it. We will take that thought on. We will put it to work, and we will see glory revealed. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, for the good work that you started in us. You will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. It will be brought to completion. Hallelujah. You are fulfilling your good work in the church of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you today for all those who still love and call on your name. Lord God, I thank you for all those who have not bowed and kissed Baal. I thank you for all those who have stood, Lord God. Father God, I thank you for your blessing and your hand, Lord God, and your strength upon them today in the name of Jesus. I thank you all over the world. There's a people rising up, a people who love Jesus, Lord God, a people who are standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, a people with the armor of God are rising up in this day and age, and they are your people. They're your army. Hallelujah. They're full of your glory, and they will fulfill your plans and your purposes, and Jesus Christ will be glorified in these last days. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's fun to pray when you're anointed. It's fun to pray when you're anointed. Hallelujah. I tell you, glory to God. I've done a lot of praying without the anointing already. I tell you, I've done enough of that. I've had enough of the times my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. Trying to talk. Doing that. Hallelujah. But it's good when the anointing comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you're champions, aren't you? Hallelujah. You have the victory. We're not trying to get it. We have it. We have the victory. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost will lead you in line of living this victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God.